Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Yeah. He is worthy. Good. How are you doing? Great. Give like three people, give a big spin, give them high fives. Low fives on the side. Brill. Awesome. God's good. God's good. Well, hello. Okay, are you in a good mood? In a good mood? Have you decided to be in a good mood? You might have walked in a bad mood. Just decide to be in a good mood, because it would help me bring you the Word of God, hopefully, for the next half hour. Half hour sounds like a long time, but I'll try and make it fly by. See how we go. You can tell me at the end. So yesterday was the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. Yes. That's where I'm starting, Jono. Deal with it. So, 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. How many of you watched Doctor Who last night? How many of you watched Doctor Who? We've got, come on, come out of the closet, geeks, come on. For our friend Rachel's birthday, we took her to the... You can turn this down a little bit, because if I put it near my mouth, I'm going to sound like this. Good. So, which is quite good, isn't it? If I want to make a point... Anyway, so we took it to the cinema. We took Rachel to the cinema to see Doctor Who. Doctor Who broadcast around the world. Doctor Who, that episode of Doctor Who, you might think Doctor Who's lame. It was broadcast to 90 countries around the world simultaneously and in the cinema. I think that is incredible. Actually, it was the biggest. This is the days we live in, right, where Doctor Who actually has now. It was the biggest simultaneous drama broadcast around the world that there has ever been. Doctor Who. I grew up with Doctor Who when it was more embarrassing than it is now, right, to watch Doctor Who. And now Doctor Who is like, come on, it's like top-rated program on BBC and all that kind of stuff. And you may not be convinced about it, but I am. And I love as well, see, growing up, I love the superhero film, comics and all that kind of stuff. And now what are the biggest grossing films of the day? Superhero films. Billion dollar films. And so it is like the geek has taken over the world. The geek wins out in the end. It's not cool to be not a geek. It's cool to be a geek now. Let me tell you, it's cool to be superheroes. But I love superheroes. I love the world of superheroes. I've always wanted to be a superhero. I've always wanted to be. I'm still carrying the dream somewhere in my heart. You're my superhero, Dave. Thanks very much. And to be more than just a hero. Don't want to just be a standard hero. I want to be a superhero. You know, I don't want to be, hey, I'm a hero. Oh, well done. I'm a superhero. Having something more about you, you know, like Thor. You know, gosh, Thor. That's one for the ladies. Thor. Rachel really loves Thor. And Captain America. And people that got more, something more about them than just the standard. Not standard heroes. They've got something. Another power. Another level. And I just like, gosh, in my life, I just don't want to be normal. I don't want to be average. You know, I don't want to just, hey, you've done really well. I want to do super well. I want to be a superhero. I don't know where I'm going with this. For Liverpool. I want to be a superhero. I don't want to just do church. I want to do super church. Do you know? I don't want to just do Christianity. I want to do super Christianity, which is discipleship, which is following Jesus Christ with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. I don't want to just live in the natural. I want to live in the supernatural. We had a great night the other night with Tim Hall at the Adelphi Hotel, and I'm like, gosh, this is good. This is taking us beyond the natural. There were people being healed, people's lives being turned around, people who'd suffered with stuff for many years, beginning to get some freedom there. And I'm like, God, I want to see more of the supernatural. But I don't want to just have a meeting. God doesn't want to just do meetings that you turn up to and something happens in a meeting. God wants you to live a supernatural life, a life that is not just natural, not just, well, let's see if by my own strength and power I can get through the next week or the next month. God wants to give you a supernatural ability to overcome. I think there's many people in this room that are thinking, you know what, I need some super on my natural because my natural ain't so super. And so God, please release in my life something of your power, of your ability, of your strength. Are you with me today? When you look at yourself and look in the mirror and look at your life and look at your circumstances and look at the challenge of a church trying to break through in a city and say, God, this cannot happen naturally. This needs something super natural. This needs, God, your power to be released in our lives in a whole new way. So that's what I'm going to talk about, because for you and for me, being supernatural is meant to be natural. It doesn't come naturally. It comes by the power of Christ. But for us, knowing Jesus, walking with Jesus, having the power of God released in our life should just be normal. Normal. I was talking to the partners a couple of weeks ago, and there was a temptation, you know, to get the partners of church together and say, hey, let's have a big push, you know, into Liverpool. Let's have a big push at church. Come on, guys. Let's push a bit harder. But the reality is, I said, no, let's not push harder. Let's just normalize. Let's not strain harder, you know, to be better people. Let's normalize. Let's put our faith in Jesus Christ and his power. Let's take our faith off ourselves, where we always end up disappointed, and put our faith and trust back on Jesus Christ, who will supernaturally enable us to overcome and live the life that he's got for us. Amen. I'm in John chapter 11 today, and I started there. Actually, a few weeks ago, I was preaching, and I began to preach from John chapter 11. And I got like halfway through my notes, as I normally do. And so I went back over and I say, hang on, there is a whole other message here that I think is right for us today on how the supernatural can become more natural for us. How you can become naturally super. How to become naturally super. And in John chapter 11, it's the story of Lazarus. Lazarus. You may know this story. You may not know this story. I was talking to someone yesterday who was new in our church in Lancashire over in Preston. And they said, I know about Jesus being born. And I know about the cross and resurrection. But in between, no, nothing. So I don't assume that you know the story of Lazarus. But Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends, who got very sick and died, and Jesus came and prayed and said to Lazarus, who was in the tomb, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came back to life. One of the most amazing miracle moments in Jesus' ministry. And there's some things I think we can pull out of that today. But in John chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus has just been told about Lazarus being sick. And it says, when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus's sickness, there's a lot of S's in there for a guy with a slight lisp. Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. I've said it before, but I find it really fascinating that if I was there and Jesus had said to me, this will not end in death, I would think he's not going to die then. Do you know? I would say, oh, Lazarus, he's not going to die. But Jesus is quite clever and quite wise and quite specific. He said, it's not going to end in death. He didn't say he's not going to die. And so Lazarus died. Now, sometimes when we're believing the promise of God, it seems like the promise of God has died. You think God's spoken some stuff over our lives, and some of you have got things in your life you're believing for, or promises of God that you're holding on to, and things you've been praying about, and things you think, well, that was a prophecy over my life. And sometimes it feels like the things have died. You think, God, I thought you said, but God hasn't always told us the full route and journey to the end point. He just said, it's not going to end in death. There is more to the story. So even for you, if there's something where you feel like, gosh, something has died, feels like things are over for me, it feels like I'm just now in a hole, in a rut, in a tomb, whatever it may be, that is not the end of the story. There is more to your story. So sometimes things get worse before they get better. It's true. In every superhero story, just before the final victory, it always seems to get slightly worse. It seems to be that things become more impossible, doesn't it? And that can be the same for our lives. We think, gosh, God, you're about to do something great. And we've pumped ourselves up in faith, ready for the next great move of God. And then suddenly things seem to go flat. Something happens in our life. Things fall apart. And we're like, gosh, God, what are you doing? But the story isn't over. I wonder what there is in your life, what aspect of your life needs the impossible to turn from impossibility to the glory of God. Because Jesus said, hey, this isn't going to end this way. This is going to turn around for the glory of God. This is going to turn around for an incredible testimony. And I don't know what there is in your life where you think, gosh, God, I've got some impossibilities that need to turn around for the glory of God, for a great story and a testimony to talk about how great you are, God. But in Lazarus' story, the supernatural completely overturns the laws of science, completely confounds expectations, and turns around an absolutely impossible situation. So it became one of the greatest days the people involved had ever experienced. And I want that for Liverpool. Liverpool needs some supernatural. You need some supernatural. You know, you need the supernatural to overturn some stuff in your life. You need the supernatural to confound some of the odds that you're facing. You say, God, I need some supernatural. This city needs some supernatural. The people of this city need to experience the power of God in their lives to set them free, to turn them around. We've got a mission, we've got a job to do, we've got a call on our lives. We need some supernatural to fill out this place. We've got plenty of spare seats here to fill with your friends, your family, your work colleagues, people who we don't even know yet. People are going to hear about what God is doing. But to hear about what God is doing, we need God to be doing something, right? And he's doing something. Lisa's been talking about it, but we want to see more. And if we're going to see more, you've got to see more. You got a hunger in your life for more. God, of your supernatural power in my life, just to help, not just to see miracles on the outside, but to actually enable me to overcome what's in front of me, to believe, to go forward, to change. You know, there's some areas of your life where you're thinking, gosh, God, I could do with some supernatural just to change, because I'm sick of the natural. I think I'll try harder. Don't try harder, church. Let's just normalize. But putting our faith in Jesus Christ, taking it all off us, all onto him. But here's a few things that we can do to help us become naturally supernatural. First of all, is don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until tomorrow. I love this. Jesus is coming to the situation where Lazarus has died, and Martha, one of the sisters of Lazarus, comes running to meet Jesus, and they have a conversation. But in the midst of that conversation, in verse 23 to 25 of chapter 11, Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Yes, Martha said, "He will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." You know, it's like when we think, you know, down the line somewhere, yeah, Jesus, he's going to rise again. We're going to be together one day down the road. And Jesus tells her in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." She's thinking about an event, and he's like, the event is right here. "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. But more than that, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" She's probably like, what? But we sometimes put off our breakthrough, our, you know, the promises of God, what we want to see, who we could be. We think, one day, one day this will come, one day maybe. We put things off into a vague future. I hope so, God. Would you one day do something? We put things far down the line where God says, hey, I am here now to do something. I'm here to do something in your life. Not down the line. I'm not thinking, gosh, yeah, well, when so far down the line, God, what you want to do in this church, you know, and we'll grow sort of slowly, steadily over another 50 years time. I'm like, God, you are here now and alive now to do something now. Why wait for tomorrow for what you can actually have today? Why wait for tomorrow for your breakthrough? Why when you could have it today? By faith in Jesus Christ, because if it's about you, it's going to take a long time. If it's about Jesus, it's going to take a moment of faith. Don't put it off into a vague one day hope so, because your resurrection, your reinvention is right here, right now. Your turnaround, your breakthrough, your renewed hope, your life. I am the life, said Jesus. It's here now. Jesus didn't come to bring his church meetings until we go to heaven. Praise God. Came to bring the rule and power of the kingdom of God to our lives now. Let's just not live church service to church service. Nothing going on in between. I want to live in today. I want to make the most of this moment that God has given us. You know, it's Advent coming up. You might have a chocolate Advent calendar. When I was growing up, I had a chocolate Advent calendar. Behind lots of doors, 1 to 24. Lots of chocolatey treats. But when I know there's chocolatey treats behind those numbers 1 to 25, why on earth would I wait? On day 3 for day 4, when I know behind day 4 there is a chocolatey that I can just go over and I'll have that. I'll have that today. You know, I'm not advocating just going and just getting an Advent calendar and eating it all. But I don't know, why wait? Why wait? Why wait when there's something available to you? Why wait? Why think it's for someone else? Why wait for what God has for you? I don't even know quite how to say it, but I know that God has more for you now than you are actually taking hold of. There are doors to open. There are promises of God to open up. That you're saying, I'll leave that for another day. Maybe not consciously, but subconsciously. And I was like, God, let's just take hold today of what is available to us today. Our breakthrough is available. Here's 2 Peter 1 verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us. No, wait for it. It's not coming at Christmas. He's given us everything we need for living a godly life. Doesn't mean a boring life. Doesn't mean, godly, a dull life. It means the God kind of life. It means the life that God's made available to you for living a godly life. We have, say I have. We have received all, say all, of this by coming to know him. Do you know Jesus today? If you do, then you got everything you need. Time to open the doors. If you don't know him today, well, it's just a prayer away. It's just a decision away. God, I need some supernatural. Jesus, I'm not dealing with this thing called life. The one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Everything for living life. By coming to know him. The I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. You've come to know him. And I love this. He's called you to himself. Come on. He's saying, come to me. I've got your resurrection. I've got your life. I've got your turnaround. Come on. Come on, what are you waiting for? I love this. This is funny. Earlier in the story, Jesus is first told about Lazarus, and he waits a few days. Because I'm saying, hey, don't wait for tomorrow for what you can have today. But Jesus, when he heard about Lazarus, he waited. He waited. I'm like, whoa, that's a bit weird. Well, let's just get this miracle done. Huh? But I realize this, that patience is a gift of the Spirit. Patience. Maybe the supernatural thing you need is some patience. Let's take it out of the whoa and into the oh yeah. You need some patience. You know, faith works with patience. Faith says, God, I'm believing you for everything you've spoken over my life, everything you have for me. And the next day, God, I'm believing you for everything
everything you've planned for me, everything you've spoken over my life. He goes, day by day, it's not moved by circumstance. That's what Jesus would do. I'm not moved by circumstance. I'm not moved by circumstance. I'm listening to the voice of your spirit. Patience is a gift of the spirit. Some of you just need some patience because you're getting frustrated. Second thing we need to do is we need to get out of the crowd. If you want to make the supernatural natural, you need to get out of the crowd sometimes. In verse 30, Jesus stayed outside the village. The village was where Lazarus was dead and everyone was mourning and crying. Jesus stayed out of the village, the place where Martha met him. Martha met Jesus outside of the village, kept outside of the village, away from the mourners, away from the situation. Martha went out to meet him. For you, there is a place to meet with God. This is a good place, but you need a place in your day-to-day to meet with God, to meet with Jesus. A place where your faith can be restored, questions can be answered. And so you can go back into your situations with a new perspective. Because that's what Martha came out with. Well, Jesus, you could have been here, but he's dead. This has gone terrible. Comes back knowing, okay, there's a miracle about to happen. Jesus said this isn't going to end in death, and now I see that it's not. He's coming in with a different. And you need to find that space in your life. I can't emphasize that enough. This week, I did Friends of the Vision. We had a Friends of the Vision night with a few guys who are new around here and getting locked into church life. And everyone went home about 9:30. We'd had it at one of the hotels in one of the bars and sat around and chatted, and it was cool. And then afterwards, everyone was going home. And I think, well, I'll go and get back in my car now. And I thought, hang on, it's 9:30. I'm on my own. I know that Emma is in bed, being looked after. There's no babysitter. Lisa's at home. I know what I'll do. I'll have a cheeky devotional. I'll have a cheeky devotional. When was the last time you had a little cheeky devotional? Huh, cheeky? And little cheeky time with Jesus. Hey, I don't even have to get up early for this one. That's all I need to do. I just walked around a couple of streets of the city, found there was a bar open, nice bar, it's quite quiet, kind of casual and nice, and a few people in there, but I could sit there, get myself a Coke, all right, and just open my Bible and start just listening to the Lord and write some notes. I'm like, this is a cheeky, little cheeky devotional. You need to have some cheeky devotionals in your life. You think, you've got to be like, hang on, I've got a moment. Here is a moment, as well as working in some discipline into your life. Have some moments with God. You know, get out of the crowd, get out of it, you know, for a while. You've got to get away from just looking at your situation. You know, everyone in the village was looking at Lazarus and going, well, yep, yeah, he's dead. You know? And so you spend too much time just looking at your situation, going, yeah, that's pretty bad. Yeah, that back balance is low. Or whatever it may be. I don't know if you've ever seen a dead person, right? I have seen a couple of dead people. And you look and you do think, yep, they're dead. They are dead. And if you spend too much time just looking, all you're consumed with is what you're looking at. You need to come out of the crowd, away from the mourners, out of the village and meet. Just talk to Jesus. You need to find a way to get out of the crowd of mourners. Jesus, I don't want to be around the mourners all the time. They're bringing me down. They're just taking me out of a place of faith. And sometimes it's not helpful to just have people who just feel sorry for you. It's nice to have people who feel sorry for you, but you don't want to just have people around your life who just feel sorry for you or just sympathize with you. Jesus sympathizes with us, but he doesn't just sympathize with us. I don't want just people who say, hey, don't worry, you're doing great. It's nice that sometimes have a little rub of the back and you're doing great, right? It's good. We need that. But we don't just need those people who just get alongside and will cry about everything with you and say, oh, never mind. Oh, well, no. I want some people who tell me some stuff. They'll say, come on, you can do better than this. I've had that throughout my Christian life. And sometimes you kind of want to just say, well, stuff you. You need a few people. You need a few people who you actually, inside, you feel like, I want to say, stuff you. Do you know what I'm going through?
But you need people who, out of love, who will love you. They'll prove their love to you, but at the same time, they can bring a word that just pulls you out of the mourning and your pity and says, hey, there's something else in this, some other possibilities in this situation. You need to get out of the crowd of demands. I've got a lot of demands. There is a lot of life and a lot of stuff and a lot of responsibilities. And from time to time, you need to get out of the crowd of life and responsibilities and pressures. I've realized this. I can't cope. Even now, I'm struggling. This is... Yeah, am I doing well? Yeah, thanks. But I've discovered this. I can't cope. I am not Mr. Strong, obviously. I'm not Mr. Got it all together, right? Nor do you. I can't cope. But the good thing is, I realize I'm not made to cope. I'm not made to handle life. I'm not made to deal with it all by my strength and by a stiff upper lip. I'm actually made. I am designed to need Jesus Christ. I am designed to need his strength. If you think, oh, I'm feeling like a little bit, feeling like I can't cope. Well, you're not meant to cope. You're meant to get out of the crowd from time to time and talk to Jesus and allow him to speak into your life in a constant and ongoing way. Please find some space to get out of the crowd this week. Next thing you need to do, you need to get angry. You need to get a little bit angry. If you want to access the supernatural in your life, you need to get angry. It says in John 11, verse 33, when Jesus saw, this is Mary, saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. You don't think that about Jesus, do you? Deep anger. These are people crying, they're mourning, and Jesus turns up and gets angry. He gets out. I thought Jesus would be, hey guys, come on, it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. No, he's angry. And he was deeply troubled. And then in verse 38 later on, it says Jesus was still angry when he arrived at the tomb. The disciples are like, hey, Jesus, maybe you should just calm down a little bit. This is getting a bit intense, right? People are going to be worried here. You're going around angry. You're like, oh. You know, I think there's a few things that you need to be angry about. There's a few things that we maybe put up with in our lives and in our world, and we need to be a little bit more angry. People expect me to be nice all the time, just nice because I'm the pastor and nice. So sometimes things make me angry. Sometimes things make me angry when I see there's a possibility of someone breaking through some stuff in their life and they decide not to. I'm like, I'm not angry at the person. I'm angry at the situation. I'm angry at things not turning out the way that they're supposed to be. Jesus hates death. He hates that sort of stuff, and he's like, I'm angry about this, and he's also angry about lack of faith, you know, not pointing at us going, I'm angry about it, but he's like, God, there's something, he's like, I want to do something about it. And in our lives, we've got to have a little bit more passion, I think. So I say, I am not going to put up with the status quo of my life. I'm not going to put up with church not becoming all it can be. I'm not going to put up with my work colleagues and my world not being impacted by Jesus Christ speaking through my life into them. I'm not going to let it go. In the Avengers, the Incredible Hulk, there's a big monster coming down the street. It's a monster kind of slash spaceship coming down the street in the movie The Avengers, and the Hulk's there, but he's not the Hulk at this point. He's Bruce Banner. And Bruce Banner turns up, and they're like, we could do with the Hulk. Maybe it's time to get angry. Come on, Bruce, time to get angry. I don't know what they were thinking. Let's go and punch him. Come on, turn into the Hulk. And he says, you know my secret. I love this. It's a great moment. He says, you know my secret. I'm always angry. And just turns around, turns into the Hulk, and channels his anger at this big monster. And I'm like, that's quite nice. And inside all of us, combined with the love and the grace and the mercy and the floaty stuff, you should have a little bit of you that's always angry. I'm always angry. I'm always angry about people not coming to Jesus Christ. Not angry with them, but I'm angry about the situation of people going to hell, going to falling away, not finding the purposes of God for their life. I'm angry about that. I'm passionate about that. Come on, underneath all of us, I'm always angry. It's time to stir it up. Channel it. Don't settle for the status quo of your life. Don't settle for status quo either. They're outdated now. Come on. And I'll do these next ones. Finish by 12. Okay, Dave. Next thing you got to do, if you want to access supernatural for your life, you need to face the stink. Turn to the person next to you and say, face the stink. It's not personal. Don't take it personally. It's a horrible day when you realize you've run out of deodorant. You ain't got time to go to the shop. But John chapter 11, verse 39, Jesus is right there in front of the tomb now, and he says, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. I find it funny, one, that that's the thing that she's most concerned about. Don't do that. It will really be stinky. We don't want to deal with that. The stinkier something gets, the less we want to deal with it. And like, that stinks. That's really stinky. I'm not going near that. But to allow the supernatural to enter your situation, you've got to roll aside the stone of self-protection and let Jesus in. Because for many of us, there's some stinky stuff on the inside, right? And we got to roll aside. There's some stones that have got to roll aside to let Jesus in. I love that some people have done that, me and Lisa, over the last couple of months. They've just come and said, hey, here's this. They've rolled aside the stone and it allows you to speak in and stand with them. And sometimes just rolling away the stone and letting someone in is kind of like, whoa, that feels much better. The stink has been released, you know? Release the stink. That should have been the name of this particular point. But when you do and you let Jesus in or let somebody in who represents Jesus in, well, gosh, they can speak into the situation and see something turn to life and freedom. And we've seen that recently. You know, when you roll aside the stone of your life, Jesus doesn't hold his nose and say, do you know what? Just roll the stone back. That was bad. Woo! Yeah, keep it covered. We've got to sometimes face how bad things have got, or just stop thinking, I'll be okay, I can handle it. You're not made to handle it. It's time to let other people into your world as well so that you can be the representative of Christ to people. And because when you spend time with people and good time with people and share food with people like we've been talking about in over the last year as Hope City Church, making some food connections to build some friendships. When you develop a deeper connection with the people in your world, they begin to roll aside the stone of their own lives and let you in a little bit. And that's the time to really help people and let them know what God's done in your life. But don't just think, oh, I've got an invite. The invite, this is cool. This is an easy invitational to carols. But even better if you spent some time with people already, set them up, got to know them. They'll roll aside the stone a little bit, let you in. Lastly, I did that point really quick. Well done. Lastly, we need to shout something. We need to shout something. In verse 41, they rolled the stone aside and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they'll believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. It's so funny, isn't it? I'm like, why did Jesus shout? It's not like Lazarus was death. He was dead. I'm like, if I shout really loud, he's going to come back to life. Lazarus! Hey!
oh, yeah.
It's not that kind. I'm like, gosh, this is a supernatural shout. This is a shout that goes beyond the grave. Lazarus wasn't even there. He was somewhere else. He was off in the afterlife. I'm not going to get into where the afterlife actually was before Jesus went to the cross, but he was there, right? He was there, and the shout broke through death, broke through the grave, and found Lazarus wherever he was, and pulled him back into his body and up off the slab. I don't know what it was. Call it a slab. But there's a supernatural shout in all of us that we've got to release out of our lives, calling people back to Jesus Christ. It's like in our prayer time. I think we need to stir up some shout to declare some stuff over this city and over your life and over people's lives. We need to call some people back from the grave, you know, from life without God to back to life with Christ. It's time to declare what God wants to do, to shout something. Stop shouting and declaring negativity. Stop it. Stop declaring this lack of faith over your life. Stop declaring, oh, I'll wait and see. Oh. Stop declaring, I hope so. Stop declaring, oh, I'm not important. Stop declaring, oh, I'll never change. Things won't change. They're stuck like this. It's because of this. Therefore, it's going to be like this forever. You know, some people believe in karma, don't they? They say, well, I get this because I did that. Stop declaring. Stop declaring karma. It's not the Bible. It's not Jesus. It's not truth. It's time to start naming and claiming the true promises and purposes of God. You know, not for a new car, but for a new life. Some people really want a prophecy. They really want someone to prophesy. Come on, prophesy over me, you know. I need a word. Give me a word. If you want a prophecy, prophesy over yourself. Prophesy over yourself. Prophesy to your own soul. Psalm 43, verse 5 says, this is a psalmist, right? This is David, I think. Psalm 43, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? He's having a word with himself. Have a word with yourself. Why are you downcast, soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He doesn't start by talking to himself and then make some outward, you know, hey, put your hope in God, everybody. He's talking to himself. Some of us Christians here today, we need to talk to ourselves. We have a little word, a little prophesy over our own lives. Don't stop at why are you so downcast? You know, it's not, we just go, oh gosh, I'm feeling a bit low, feeling a bit down. Oh, why are you feeling down? Oh, I don't know. Must be because this thing went wrong. Oh yeah, yeah. Why are you so downcast? Must be because I've not seen the promises of God come about yet. Oh yeah, yeah, that's why I'm downcast. Oh, I'm downcast. Why are you so downcast? Because I just don't have a job at the moment. Oh, I ain't got a job, so I'm downcast. It stands to reason. Yeah, it stands to reason. We're not people of reason. Why are you so downcast? Just a bit depressed. Things haven't worked out the way I thought they'd worked out. So I'm downcast. Oh, okay. You're downcast. But don't stop at being downcast. Turn around, talk to yourself. Put your hope in God. Oh, come on. Come on, you. Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He's my Savior. He's the one who saves me. He's the one who saves me out of every situation. He's the one who saves me out of my own despair and my own pit. He's the one who saves me out of my lack. He's the one who saves me out of just being in the doldrums and being stuck in a rut for the next 15 years of my life. He's saving me from that. God, save me from going round and round and round and round. You save me, God. Save me from my own head. He save me. Come on, you got to have a word with yourself. Put your hope in God. Why don't we just stand right now? Why don't we stand right now? And you have a little word with yourself. You know? Say, talking to yourself is the first sign of madness. Oh, well. We're a little bit crazy. Come on, why don't you lift your hands where you are? I'll have a word with ourselves in a moment, right? Why don't you just make a decision right now to praise God? You may think, I got loads to praise about, I got nothing to praise about right now. Why don't you begin to thank God that He is your Savior? That you will see the salvation of the Lord. God, your salvation and all that means for me. Jesus. Why don't you just take 15 seconds, just worship Jesus Christ right now. Just lift Him up over your life. Above everything. God, you're above everything. God, you're above the low points. You're above the high points, God. You're the greatest that there is. Jesus, you're my salvation. You're my hope. In you I will hope. In you I will hope. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, God, for your grace and your goodness towards us. We lift up the name of Jesus Christ in His place today. We thank you, Lord. Just listen to me for one last moment. It says in verse 44 that the dead man came out. Awesome. Now, before you just imagine him walking out like me, like now. It says he came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. I could do a little funny interpretation of that right now, show what that was like. I won't. But he was wrapped in his grave clothes. He's got up, and he's in his grave clothes, and he's got a thing wrapped around his head. He's like, hello, I'm alive. You know? And she says, come on, unwrap him. Let him go. And maybe a few of us need a little bit of unwrapping. Little bit. There's some grave clothes, right? He's alive, but his vision's impaired. He can hardly move. He doesn't know where he's going. You know, he still smells of some of the dead stuff. He's still kind of, he's got it all, still wrapped in it, wrapped in the grave clothes. And some of us even here today who know Jesus Christ, there's some unwrapping to do. He's thinking, oh, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to put my hands to. I don't know what to do. What shall I do? Where am I going? I can't see very well. I know Jesus. I feel like I love Jesus. I know Jesus. He's done something in my life, but I can't see where I'm going next. I don't know what to do next. I need some unwrapping. And maybe if that's you right now, that clicks with some part of me. Why don't you just lift your hand, right? Just lift your hands just so I can see. If that's you today saying, you know what, I need a little bit of unwrapping. I'm still think I'm carrying around a little, some of the dead, some of the history. Is that eight? So is there anybody else? He's saying, come on, God, I just want some unwrapping. I'm feeling, I just need the grave clothes off. Father God, I thank you. Father God, I thank you, God, that you, right now, just you reach in. Father, I thank you that these guys can take off the grave clothes. Maybe they'll need some help. Maybe they need some help. So Jesus said to the guys around, go and help. Help. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you need to go to someone and talk to them. Maybe there's a little bit of even opening the door of the tomb, letting some of the stink out. But Jesus said, go and help them. Go and help them. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you do. And I pray for you right now that you'd have the help of the Spirit of God. But as well that you'd open up your life to the possibility of others coming in and helping you. It's time to take down the barriers. Some of you guys who are responding, you got to take down some barriers and say, I accept. I accept some help. And now come on, some of us were feeling downcast and And maybe all of us, what we can do right now is just have a quick word with ourselves. Why don't you have a word with yourself right now? Come on, lift your hands, close your eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus. Just for 30 seconds now, just talk to your own soul. Talk to your own soul. Say, come on. Come on, why do you feel that way? Why do you feel that way now? Why do you keep going round and round feeling like that? It's time to put your hope in God. Have a word with yourself. You got to put some hope back in God. Jesus, I'm not hopeless. I got hope in you. You're my salvation. You're my salvation and my God. You're above everything and over everything, God. You're greater than my situation. You're greater than my feelings. You're greater than anything that could hold me down and keep me down for long, God. I put my hope in you. I put my hope in you, Jesus. I put my hope in you, Jesus. And just before we close the service, maybe there's some people here today who don't know Jesus for themselves. You know, he said that if you know Jesus, God, you've got everything you need. You've got everything you need. You just got to open the door of faith, get aside, get out of the crowd. But maybe you don't know Jesus. You say, well, gosh, but today you're thinking, I feel like he's like calling me, drawing me to himself. I want to respond. I want to say yes to him. Maybe you've been away from him for a good deal of time and you're saying, I want to come back and I want to pray with you. We're all going to pray, just a simple prayer, but it can be the prayer that reconnects you or connects you for the first time with the God and Savior who loves you and gave his life for you. Jesus loved you so much, he died on a cross, took all your sin, all your shame, everything that could ever separate you from God, everything upon himself, so you can be forgiven. You don't have to feel guilty and carried around. He just wants to set you free. So we're going to pray this prayer. Are you ready, church? Okay, pray with me. Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have drawn me to him. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sin, taking my shame, and everything that would separate me from you upon yourself on the cross. Thank you that you rose from the grave so I could have a new life. Forgive me for going my own way. I want to go your way. Give me your supernatural life. Lead me in your plans and purposes, in Jesus' name. If that is you, if you're praying a prayer like that, and it's the first time you've ever prayed a prayer really like that, saying yes to Jesus, you may not fully understand it, but it's like, I want to go with it. If that's you today, or you've known God, walked away and come back today in this moment, why don't you just lift your hand? If you're one of those two groups of people today, just let me see. Right now, as every eye is closed, you can just lift your hand. Say, anybody today just want to say yes to Jesus. So good. So good. Sometimes you find that the same people put their hands up quite a lot. And it's just like saying, you know what, I want Jesus. I don't mind that. I still want Jesus. God's good, isn't he? Yeah, Lisa can come up. Come on, lift your hands to God. Let's have a final moment with him. Father God, we just bring every care. Bring every concern, every area where we need the supernatural, where you need God's supernatural. You bring it to God right now. You bring it right now, right now. Have your moment of connection. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, power of God, supernatural power of God. Every broken heart, every circumstance that needs you, God, every area where we think, God, I need some change, I need some transformation. Holy Spirit, right now, I pray that you minister, that you release life. God, I release life. Release life, God. You just bring it to God, bring your stuff, bring your things, and thank God right now. Thank you for your supernatural. Thank you, Jesus, that you release the supernatural in our lives, because we want to see the supernatural released in the world around us. God, release it in our lives. Release it in our lives, Lord God. Father, I'm going to be a little bit angry. A little bit angry, God, because I want to see change. I want to see transformation. I don't want to stay in the place where I am, Lord God. Father, I want to move on, God, but it's by putting faith in you. I ain't going to try harder. I'm just going to put my faith in you, God. I'm going to have a word with myself. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm changed from this moment. I'm walking out of my grave. I'm walking out of my tomb. I ain't going to stink no more, God, because I'm believing you and your supernatural power in my life. And everybody said amen. Give God some big praise right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.